Should undocumented students who graduated from a Wisconsin high school be able to pay in-state tuition to attend a University of Wisconsin system college? Should undocumented immigrants be able to apply for a state driver's license? And should Wisconsin establish a state holiday to honor the late labor and civil rights leader, Cesar Chavez? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, February 6th. In this first half hour, we will hear from a state lawmaker who is authoring these proposals, and we will also get an opposing perspective in our segment after 7:30. And we want to hear your questions and your views for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Very happy to have with us Jocasta Zamarripa. She is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, whose district has the largest Hispanic constituency in the state. She held a news conference this week to introduce these three bills regarding in-state tuition, driver's licenses, and the state holiday. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Glad to be back.
Yes, thanks for being back with us. So we'll get into the specifics of these bills in just a moment, but generally speaking, why introduce these bills now?
Well, I actually had these bills ready to go at the beginning of the legislative session in 2013, but decided I wanted to continue to advocate for federal-level comprehensive immigration reform, so I put them to the side, focused on advocating across the state for comprehensive immigration reform, urging our Wisconsin congressional delegation to support reform. As we can see, it didn't happen. Ryan just announced this past Sunday night, I believe, that it's not going to happen in 2014 neither. So I immediately, in January, began to go through the process of introducing these bills.
Talk some about just a brief reaction to Congressman Ryan saying that's not going to happen. I think he said that Republicans don't believe President Obama is serious on border security.
I think that's I'm really very disappointed. And it's a very much a fallacy because, in fact, President Obama gets criticized all the time by Democrats and progressives because of the high number of deportations that are going on every day in our country, families being torn apart and the like. So, I mean, the president is committed to border security. The U.S. Senate passed a bill with a tremendous amount of border enforcement and security in their immigration reform bill. Congress could have gotten it done, and they should have gotten it done. It's too bad the House Republicans just wouldn't do it.
It was your hope that with a national comprehensive immigration reform act that these items you're introducing now would have been covered by that?
You know, we would have probably still had to address some of them at our state level, but yes, federal level comprehensive immigration reform would have solved resolved so much. We have a broken immigration system in our country, and folks on both sides of the aisle want to see it fixed.
Well, the first bill we'll talk about would allow undocumented students who graduated from a Wisconsin high school to pay in-state tuition at UW system schools. Mm-hmm. But tell us about why this is important.
So tuition equity is very important for a couple of different reasons. We have young people that are often referred to as dreamers. I call them dreamers. Undocumented people who were brought here as children through no fault of their own. I have met many of them. I've been lucky enough to meet many of them during my time in office, and I've been trying to advocate for them. These are some of our best and brightest here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is their home. If they can, and they have to meet the qualifications in the bill, which say that you have to prove that you've resided in Wisconsin for at least 3 years. You've got to have graduated from a high school in our state in Wisconsin, and you've got to be willing to sign an affidavit saying you will become a legal resident or citizen as soon as you're eligible to do so. And these kids, these dreamers, they want that more than anything. They want to give back to the state that they have called home for so very long. And I just think it's a common sense bill. They only want to be able to pay in-state tuition rates. They want to pay their way through school.
Yeah. So the alternative is that they would pay out-of-state tuition rates if this...
That's right. If higher education is so often out of reach for these dreamers because if they get accepted into one of our UW schools, it's wonderful. But unfortunately, they have to pay the out-of-state rates that are very expensive, as so many people already know. I mean, even in-state is quite a cost and investment for our families. But with the out-of-state rates and the fact that they're undocumented, usually ineligible for many scholarships, and certainly they are not eligible at all for FAFSA, the Federal Financial Aid for Students, or any state aid. So it definitely puts higher education out of reach for these dreamers.
Well, Governor Walker cut this proposal out of his first budget, saying that people who are here illegally should not get taxpayer-subsidized tuition. What's your response to that?
I think it's unfortunate that when I was a freshman legislator in 2011, the Governor Walker and the Republicans decided to repeal this law. It was a law for one legislative session. Dreamers were allowed to pay in-state tuition, pay their way through college, work their way towards becoming a prosperous citizen in our great state. And I think Governor Walker made a mistake, and I think he realizes he made a mistake, especially now that I know he's trying, he would like to try very much to grow a Latino base within his party.
Mm-hmm. What about someone listening right now who says, I don't want a dreamer taking my kid's spot at a UW system school?
You know, I would just appeal to those folks, and I know it's a very difficult issue for many people. To remember that these are young people who were brought here through no fault of their own. They are Wisconsinites. I've met them. I've heard their Milwaukee accents. And I just think if you could meet the kids that I meet, you'd see that they are very much, they feel very strongly that they are Wisconsinite. They have done the work to get accepted into perhaps the flagship here at UW-Madison. They deserve to be able to simply pay in-state tuition rates to get through college and be able to give back and plug money into the economy and be prosperous citizens.
Do we have any idea how many dreamers would apply to a UW system college and pay in-state tuition if this were law?
That's a very good question, Joy. It's hard to get a hard number on undocumented immigrants. And in the UW system, I have asked chancellors and regents and the like if we could get a hard number. It's a small number, but I would say a handful per campus if we round it. But I couldn't give you a hard number right now. It's hard for them because they don't necessarily track it on their forms apparently. But I'm told that it's probably about a dozen students maybe per campus, if that.
And let's move on to the proposal that would allow undocumented immigrants to apply for a Wisconsin driver's license. Why is this needed?
This is a public... So our driver's... I like to call it driver's cards for undocumented immigrants. This is a public safety bill that truly benefits all Wisconsinites so that we know that the folks driving on our roads have done what they had to do. They've successfully learned the rules of the road, gone and taken that driver's test, paid for the driver's license. They're more likely to purchase auto insurance if they have access to that license to drive. This is a public safety bill, and that's why I believe that's why I was lucky enough to earn the support and the co-sponsorship of Republican State Representative Gary Bies because of his law enforcement background as well. He sees it in a very pragmatic way. He wants his law enforcement to be able to know who they're pulling over, who they're speaking with, who's driving on their roads, and wants to make sure that they're following the traffic laws correctly.
Are there any requirements, or how exactly would this driver's license bill work?
Well, it would look very similar to your state driver's mm-hmm. license, Joy. It would be very much like a driver's license that an immigrant who's here absolutely legally and lawfully with a visa. They get a driver's license. Does have the word temporary on it for that resident. They're called residents. Those immigrants who are here but who are non-citizens. So these driver's license would look actually more almost identical to, in fact, I believe identical to those residents who are here. That's non-citizens who are here with a visa. And it has the word temporary somewhere on the card. But other than that, it looks very similar to a state driver's license. It will be, as we know, at the federal level, we have this Real ID Act. It will be non-compliant with Real ID because, of course, the individual is not a citizen, so they would not be Real ID compliant. And right now, you can have whether you're a citizen or not, you can have a non-compliant Real ID as we continue to make that shift over into the Real ID.
We are talking with Democratic State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa. Her Milwaukee district has the largest Hispanic constituency in the state, and she recently introduced three bills that would help undocumented residents or immigrants, including one that would allow undocumented students who graduate from a Wisconsin high school to pay in-state tuition at a UW system school. Another would allow undocumented residents to apply for a driver's license in Wisconsin. We are hearing why Representative Zamarripa thinks these bills are necessary, and we welcome your questions for her. We welcome your views. Do you think they're necessary too? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 21 minutes past 7 o'clock now on this Thursday, February 6th. Our guest for the rest of this half hour is State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa, talking with us about recent legislation that she unveiled and welcoming your questions about it. And let's go right to the phones. Karen in Milwaukee is with us first. Hello, Karen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, good morning. So my question specifically relates to the fact of why we are targeting illegal immigrants versus legal immigrants. I myself am one. It took me 12 years to get a green card. I had to take three jobs during college in order to afford the out-of-state tuition. I have to wait another 4 years to get a citizenship. And in other words, I've contributed about half of my life as coming on my own to this country in order to work towards becoming a citizen of this country. I did not have the privilege to get in-state tuition, and I don't understand why the target is on people that perhaps also need to, number one, work and get to a point where they can perhaps independently support themselves in order to contribute to this country, or alternatively, why is the focus on illegal immigrants, where we clearly have an issue with the fact that there's illegal citizens in this country, versus focusing on those that legally enter the country and give their lives in order to contribute and reap the benefits of what this wonderful nation has to offer to us.
All right, Representative Zamarripa, what about Karen, who's trying to become a citizen and is here legally and has to pay out-of-state tuition?
Karen, I absolutely am happy that you've come here, and I support all my immigrant communities. Around the Dreamers, again, I just do not believe that we should be punishing these young people, again, brought here as children through no fault of their own. They are trying to be financially independent. Again, they wouldn't be, this isn't a free ride for our Dreamers. They are paying their way through college. They don't qualify for any financial aid. Federal financial aid, state financial aid. They usually have a hard time accessing even scholarships because there's usually citizenship requirements for scholarships. So they are very much the Dreamers that I have encountered are very much trying to lift themselves up from their bootstraps and be productive members of society. Unfortunately, you know, that they were brought here as children, and I just refuse to crucify them because of the sins of their father. I won't do it.
Karen, thank you for the call. Mary Jane in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Mary Jane.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me on the air. I have had the privilege of being able to mentor and somewhat raise a young man since he's been four, a friend of my son's who is undocumented. Both boys will now be 16 coming up this year in April and July, and the young man will not be able to get his driver's license because of his current status. And many undocumented drive, as they should not, but they don't have the ability to do it. And the public actually needs to have uninsured motorist insurance so that to cover those people that are undocumented because they are driving. And if there was a venue, a way that they could get the driver's license, they could do it the right way, pay into the system, you know, through the DOT and through the insurance, keep us all safe. But one more thing is this gentleman's an aspiring artist. He's just amazing. And it's in great school, great grades in school, probably about a 3.2 grade point average. And I would love to see him go on to college. And so hopefully there will be that opportunity for him to take care of advantage of both of those opportunities.
Thank you very much, Mary Jane. A response, Representative Zamarripa.
I think what we had, I know we didn't get this information from her, but I bet you that young man is also a DACA dreamer. And that's one thing I know we haven't talked about yet this morning, Joy, but our DACA dreamers, and DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's the executive order that the president made, I believe it was last summer. And I've met many DACA dreamers as well. And these are dreamers who, because of the president's executive order, they're as documented as they can be right now without immigration reform implemented. They have filled out the paperwork. They have paid the fees. They have done what they could, what they can to get on the grid in as much as possible. Bet you that young guy, that young man she speaks of, is a DACA dreamer. I hope he is. And if he's not, I hope he'll call his congressional representative and ask her to get him on the road to becoming a DACA dreamer. And I want him to be able to access a higher ed, just as she said, so he can become that productive tax-paying citizen in our great state.
Yeah, but and she's right that he's going to be turning 16. He's going to want to drive, and maybe he's going to need to drive to go to school or go to work or whatever. And a lot of undocumented students or residents are driving now without licenses.
That is the case. We have people driving on our roads who have not gone to the DMV and taken the road test and learned the rules of the road successfully. They are just driving without a driver's license, and that's to the detriment of all Wisconsinites. So I really think the driver's cards bill is it's a bill. It's less of an immigration bill and much, much more of a public safety bill.
Mm-hmm. Before we run out of time, and we have a little bit of it left to take another call or two, but what? Why this bill to create a state holiday honoring Cesar Chavez?
The Cesar Chavez optional holiday bill really came to me. It was something that my predecessor, Judge Pedro Colon, had advocated for. And it's an optional state holiday, Joy, so it doesn't cost the state a dime to implement. A state worker who wanted to honor and celebrate the day, Cesar Chavez's birthday, which is March 31st, could take that day off, but they'd have to do it in lieu of another day. For instance, this last 2013, New Year's Eve, they had off. They could have opted to work New Year's Eve, but recognize Cesar Chavez Day on March 31st. I think it's a great way to honor the state's fastest growing community, our Latino community in Wisconsin. And I plugged it with the governor and let him know that the first governor to sign an optional state holiday for Cesar Chavez into law was Texas Governor George W. Bush. And he did indicate he would support a Cesar Chavez Day, an optional state holiday, celebrating Cesar Chavez if it got to his desk. So I'm hoping that he'll continue to advocate for that in public.
Hmm. But the governor is not advocating for these two other measures?
As of yet, no. But I look forward to circling back with his office. He certainly did hear me out on them.
Gary and Merrill. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Well, as you guys know, we do have a comprehensive immigration law since 1986, and it's just that people have been breaking the law. And if I was to go to Mexico, I'd have to have a passport, and I'd have to have a work visa or school visa, And there's no reason why we shouldn't ask that of people coming here.
In our final minute, a response to that, Representative Zamarripa.
You know, it's much more complicated than that, and I think both both conservatives and progressives would agree. It's why people have been pushing so hard to have a fix to the immigration system in our country. It's why it's been such a huge debate in D.C., and it's why nothing's going on in D.C., I've got to introduce legislation to address these issues here in our great state.
And very, very briefly, Ezra emails, or no, it's not Ezra, it was another listener, Matthew on Facebook, says, are you just giving your voting base what they want? You want a quick response to that?
You know, I represent the largest Latino constituency in the great state, but it's much more diverse than that as well. And not all Latinos are undocumented, obviously. I'm doing this for the young people in the state. I'm doing this for all of the people in this great state so we can really get some young people into higher education, get them educated, and get them plugging money into this economy and really growing and being prosperous here.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jocasta Zamarripa, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. We'll check news and then we'll get another perspective on these issues. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We just heard the case for new legislation that would allow undocumented students who graduate from a Wisconsin high school to pay in-state tuition rates to attend a UW college. Our guest lawmaker, Democratic State Representative Jocasta Zamarripa, said since these children were brought here by their parents as children and in many cases have lived their entire lives in Wisconsin, they should not be denied the opportunity to attend a UW school paying in-state tuition rates. And Representative Zamarripa also told us why she thought immigrants who are here illegally should be able to obtain a driver's license, saying it's a public safety issue. Now we will hear from a guest who opposes these proposals. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Thursday, February 6th, and we will continue to ask for your views and your questions about these issues at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. How do you feel about letting immigrants who are here illegally pay in-state college tuition? Should they be allowed to get a driver's license? Why or why not? Let us know what you think. Our next guest is Dan Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being back with us. So let's start with the in-state tuition bill. Why are you opposed to this?
Well, first of all, there are many ways of approaching the issue, but naturally, the broader question is the federal responsibility to enforce U.S. immigration laws and what role states have in either facilitating that enforcement or undermining it. We witnessed the experience recently in Arizona, where Arizona had passed some laws designed to try to coordinate with the executive branch to help detain, apprehend, and remove illegal immigrants. And the Obama administration took the position that was preempted federally, that the federal executive branch had the unilateral right to decide who stayed and who went, that if people were here illegally and the administration didn't care to deport them, that was pretty much, without any judicial oversight, the administration's right to make that decision. Well, then you see people turning around in these states like California and others and now Wisconsin, which are saying, well, but at the same time, a state should be able to take the affirmative step of providing a driver's license or in-state residency to someone who has no right to be in the country and is in the position of actually trying to verify identity documents, many of which are produced in a foreign country, essentially running a sidebar immigration program to establish lawful residency in the state when there's no legal residency to be in the country itself. So why is it that it's preempted for Arizona, for example, to simply try to set up cooperative efforts in enforcement But it's okay for states to use taxpayer money to incentivize, encourage, and reward illegal immigration by providing benefits like in-state tuition.
Yeah, and the arguments of Fed versus state aside, just what about the philosophy of giving kids who were brought here by their parents, through no fault of their own, our past guest said, and have really grown up in Wisconsin, have attended and graduated from high school in Wisconsin, and she says are Wisconsin through and through. She hears their Milwaukee accent. Why shouldn't they be able to get a higher education paying in-state tuition?
Well, in isolation, the argument makes sense that if people are going to be here, you know, and they're never going to be removed or deported, the society benefits if they're able to obtain an education. Then the question becomes, is that in fact the proper status quo? Is it possible for these aliens to get an education in their home country where they remain citizens of another country? Is it necessarily true that state taxpayers should subsidize that education? You know, Wisconsin's higher education budget has been suffering a pretty significant downturn, and you could almost call it a crisis with the weakened economy, and state support for higher education decreased by about 17% between 08 and fiscal year 13. So for the average in-state, you know, resident who's legally in Wisconsin, you know, you're already facing very significant tuition increases, over 20%. And if you think about it, somebody who was born in this country, who lives, say, in Nebraska, who is the descendant of 15 generations of Americans who maybe fought in three wars, helped build the infrastructure of this country from coast to coast, pays out-of-state tuition. But somebody who's been in this country illegally for a few years, basically been educated at taxpayer expense in K through 12, we're now being asked to subsidize their college education. And frankly, I'm with that whole group of Americans who basically say enough is enough. Why should we continue to allow partisans to use people brought here as minors as a wedge to try to get a broad national amnesty program? There is an alternative, and that is to enforce the law, and that is to require the parents and their minor children to return back to the home country where, as citizens of those countries, they're entitled to the full benefits of every other citizen in those countries.
What harm do you see in letting immigrants, undocumented immigrants, apply for driver's licenses? Our guest says this is really a matter of public safety that immigrants are likely driving without the proper license or instruction, and this would just make sense. Why not?
First of all, why should states facilitate illegal immigration? I mean, under federal law, any encouragement of illegal immigration is a statutory felony known as harboring. If a state is actively facilitating an illegal immigrant to remain here, they are, in effect, harboring. Secondly, I continue to have these visions of the trade centers crumbling in my mind, where perpetuated by people here illegally who had about 60 different driver's licenses from all these different states, Congress spoke with one clear voice after 9/11 and said, look, the documentary system of the United States is built on a foundation of sand because all the different states issue these documents and there's no unitary standard for verification of identity or security. So if a state begins to issue driver's licenses without proper verification of identity or criminal background or anything else, which is normally what would happen in an immigration proceeding, you're allowing people to have, if you will, the keys to the kingdom to function in the United States with our de facto identity document without any proper verification. So it's no more proper for a state like Wisconsin to be trying to verify the identity and backgrounds of people in this country illegally than it would be for them to be enforcing their own immigration program, because in effect that's what it is. Secondly, there's no evidence we believe that the Real ID Act is essentially, you know, violated, the spirit of the Real ID Act, by a state willfully giving driver's licenses to people without any right to be in the country. Most Americans legitimately ask, why is it that this at this juncture it seems like the Democratic Party as a unitary entity has decided to encourage illegal immigration no matter what, and that includes giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. Why, given the fact that some employers believe that they benefit economically from hiring illegal workers, you have a lot of pressure on the Republican Party to do some of these same things. That's one of the reasons why immigration isn't better controlled. But nevertheless, if you continue the process of giving out driver's licenses and incentivizing illegal immigration, we are going to see what is now an illegal immigrant population of maybe 10 to 12 million blossom into the future. When people talk about immigration reform in Congress, let's assume the objective is to try to first ask, by reform, how do we prevent a recurrence of the very problems that brought us to where we are today? Now, one of those things people would like to see is, if you're going to give an amnesty, which we oppose, how do you prevent a growing illegal immigrant population in the future going forward? Well, providing driver's licenses and other benefits to people who are clearly illegally here, out of status or what have you, is definitely not part of what we would call reform. Mm-hmm. So it's a bad precedent for California, Wisconsin, and other states to consider doing this or to be doing this right now, when people honestly believe that there are a whole range of national security and other issues that are contravene the idea.
We did talk to Representative Zamarripa briefly about comprehensive immigration reform. She said that she had these bills ready to go last year, but was waiting to see what Congress was going to do. And Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin recently said that he didn't think anything was going to happen with comprehensive immigration reform, and she expressed her disappointment over that. What's your reaction to that?
Well, of course, we've been frankly critical of Paul Ryan's involvement in trying to bring about what they call comprehensive immigration reform, because we don't really see what the reform is. I mean, if you go back to the last prestigious commission that looked at how to reform immigration policy, led by the late Barbara Jordan, who I think we all agree had a very distinguished reputation, she said the foundation of any reform is, at the end of the process, somebody here illegally has to be deported. Well, this administration, because it has taken unilateral actions to suspend deportations for a vast number of people here illegally, millions of people, and now they're talking about even more, has so undermined its credibility with the Republican House that any new legal enactments would actually be enforced going forward, that it's unlikely the House is going to actually act this year. Although, again, there's enormous financial pressure. Let's face it. While the Democratic Party seems much more hospitable to promoting illegal immigration, at bottom, the major money and funding coming to promote illegal immigration is coming from Wall Street and corporate donors to the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They see anybody who's looking at income differentials, wage differentials, income inequality, cannot help but look at the massive influx of generally low-skilled labor as a result of immigration. This is something Wall Street likes, and they underwrite, you know, with campaign contributions, people who will support that kind of thing. And as Senator Simpson used to say, from many people remember him from Wyoming, you know, immigration is about exploitation, greed, and fear. The immigration issue is about exploitation, greed, and fear. And while we can all understand the equities of people who brought young people here and did so knowing they were breaking the law, and we certainly can understand why the compassionate case would be, well, if they're going to be here and there's no prospect of them ever being removed, you certainly don't want them to be a burden on society. The broader sort of geopolitical question is, how do we actually correct the systemic flaws in the system that create the problems in the first place? And that's not the kind of dialogue we're getting because of the enormous divide between the two parties right now in engaging in sort of a constructive colloquy of how we actually get these laws enforced.
We need to take a quick break because we're at break time. We are talking with Dan Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. He is responding to new state legislation introduced by a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee, whose district has the largest Hispanic constituency in the state. Representative Jocasta Zamarripa joined us in her last half hour to talk about bills that she recently introduced, immigration bills regarding in-state tuition, driver's licenses, and one we haven't talked about yet with Dan Stein, a state holiday to honor Cesar Chavez. We welcome your views, your questions about these bills at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February 6th. To the phones now for your questions, your views, for our guest, Dan Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, or FAIR. And Libby in Madison is with us first. Hello, Libby.
Hi. Say, I just wanted to respond to the whole issue about students and why they should get assistance to fund the university. Their parents are here. They're paying taxes. They're working. They should be able to benefit just like anybody else who's here.
Yeah, and I should point out that Representative Zamorice also said that under this bill, they would not get any financial assistance whatsoever. So they'd have to pay the in-state tuition out of pocket. Dan Stein, what about those arguments?
Well, first of all, in-state tuition is a pretty significant subsidy for for somebody, you know, like me. I live in Maryland, for example. There's only one state institution that I can really available to me, and that's the University of Maryland. And there's no reciprocity that I know of from Maryland for any other areas. Look, we're either going to enforce immigration laws in the United States or we're not. You know, when Plyler versus Doe was decided in 1982 by the Supreme Court, that was the Texas school case where the Supreme Court basically said, look, if the old Immigration Service is not taking steps to deport minor children, then they should be educated at taxpayer expense. But what they did not say, the Supreme Court did not say, that just by enrolling your child in K through 12 education, that became a shield, that would shield them from deportation. What the Obama administration has now done is effectively changed the terms of the debate by saying, we're just not going to deport illegal immigrants here unless they commit an independent, serious felony, criminal felony, like drug trafficking or murder or something like that. But that's simply not what the immigration laws of the United States say. And, you know, there is simply no basis for arguing that just because somebody has come in and worked and maybe had some payroll taxes withheld, that therefore they're entitled to all the benefits or most of the benefits that citizens might have or what have you. How can you possibly justify the idea that somebody living 5 feet across the border in a contiguous state has to pay out-of-state tuition, maybe still who's been here for generations, and yet somebody who's simply come illegally and worked here for a little while and then has, you know, their child graduation from a Wisconsin secondary school, I assume that's the rule. I haven't seen, there's no bill. I can't comment on the content, but where are the equities there? And more importantly, why shouldn't it be Wisconsin's responsibility to cooperate with the executive branch in identifying illegal immigrants, people here illegally, and getting them into deportation?
Yeah, Dan Stein, I was hoping that we'd get our reception back on your cell phone. It's really breaking up a lot, so I'm interrupting. I'm going to take another caller, and hopefully your reception may have improved by then, or we can reconnect with you. Matt in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Matt.
I'm actually from Mass, but that's not a big deal.
Go ahead.
I am a 8-year big brother to an undocumented who is in exactly this boat. And your guest's flippant disregard of his situation it sticks home with me. But I would like to ask him exactly what he expects to do with 10 million undocumented people. We don't have enough buses, courts, people to process their deportation. And it's just a ridiculous and punitive idea that punishing kids is going to get to this end.
All right, thanks very much. We're trying to reestablish our contact, so I'm going to just take another call or two and until we do that. Mary in Eau Claire. Hi, Mary.
Hello. I would like to ask him, if his name is Stein, how many generations has his family been in America, and how is he legal any more than other than the American Indian?
All right, Mary, thanks very much. Let's go to Tina in Madison. Hello, Tina.
Hi. I just wanted to, first of all, say that I think FAIR uses really unfair tactics. They might want to change their name. His earlier reference to 9/11 was just odious and really, really, they try to get people off track all the time. I also work with undocumented kids. They, in fact, do pay taxes. He kind of blew off the earlier caller's opinion about that because they do pay taxes. They're here. We owe them something because they are part of this growing community. They are going to give a lot to our community, and the driver's licensing is just a no-brainer. Law enforcement thinks it's good. We had both of those things in the pre-2010 Wisconsin, and Wisconsin worked well, giving all the kids in this state a fair chance and making sure everybody who was on the road was on the road legally. So thanks a lot to Representative Zamarripa, and I hope Mr. Stein rethinks his kind of hateful stance in that organization.
All right. Well, thanks, Tina. We did reestablish contact with Dan Stein, president of FAIR. Tina, let's start with that point. We did have both of these laws on the books in our last budget. I guess they were removed under Governor Walker's administration with his first budget. She says things were working just fine. And what's your response to that, Dan Stein?
Well, I mean, you have to take a more dispassionate look at the question of resources and how many slots are available in-state students, and whether or not, you know, all U.S. citizens who live in Wisconsin are getting the opportunities to get into these institutions who want to go. I mean, the point is there are only so many seats that are available. There's only so much money to go around, and the question is how do you parcel these out? This argument boils down to one of two assumptions. Either you assume that people here illegally will never be removed and that the immigration laws are basically irrelevant, in which case you can see no reason why not just make them all citizens, or you're trying to figure out a way to get the immigration laws in this country functioning and effective once again, in which case you see the provision of these kinds of services as incentivizing illegal behavior, and it's something you don't want to encourage.
We have less than a minute left, but Matt in Madison, when we lost you on the phone, said, well, "What? How do you expect to solve this situation? Do you really expect to deport, you know, 10 million people?"
Well, that's too complicated a question to answer. The point is you don't deport 10 million people. You put in place the incentive so that many people go home on their own. Other people either find a way to legalize through marriage or other, you know, a petition number comes up. And then some people are removed. People often say, well, the Obama administration has deported many illegal immigrants, so they're like maybe 300,000 a year. So the point is you have to get started somewhere. And if you don't enforce these laws, we're going to continue to get flooded with people crashing our borders, breaking our laws. So what we do has an impact on terms of human behavior coming down the line, in terms of encouraging more people to break these laws. We simply cannot afford to do what we have been doing or go back to where we were before 9/11 and continue to take these risks.
We have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. Dan Stein is with the organization FAIR. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.